Everybody on this planet now
is here for a reason.
Yeah. And although some don't recognize it, up to this moment, everything you've done has been to train you for what is ahead. The Pope is, in the next few weeks, going to make a statement, a document that is many, many pages long. And I want you perhaps to hear it from me before you hear it from anyone else. This is the beginning of the New World Order in terms of its operation. When the Pope makes his speech, it is the beginning of the New World Order. Literally 3 to 4 weeks ago, in Australia, a new law was passed, which is a law enshrined with the American legislature, but it has not yet been enacted. But in Australia now, it is illegal to obtain any social security benefits if you are not vaccinated and your children are not vaccinated. So you can't get any form of social security unless you have been vaccinated. This is the beginning. The Pope is going to talk primarily about overpopulation, the condition of the planet, global warming, and there will be a whole range of policies that he is going to put forward, which is supposed to reduce the pressure on the planet. The first question we should ask is, why is a church leader who can only speak for not just the Christian world, but an element of the Christian world, so the Catholic world, why is a church leader speaking on behalf of all the world? And this is because he was always meant to open the door to the New World Order. So we've got some very important energies arriving the latter part of these few weeks, and it is beginning to play out. So, Linda, as far as I'm concerned, you're absolutely right. This is not the beginning of the end, because it's the beginning of the beginning, but that's what you're saying to me, because it's the beginning of the new start. But we've waited for this for years and years and years. We've waited for this moment, and here it is. Right in the next few days is the very beginning. So we must not be surprised when we receive news of earthquakes, we receive words of large tidal waves, we receive words of terrorist attacks, we receive words of financial collapse. This is all part and parcel. Some of it is organized and planned as part of the New World Order operation. Some of it is not. I would always say to you that the earth doesn't kill anybody, but it is those who have an evil agenda that do. So I don't want this to be a very sad or somber get together, but I do want you to be aware that this is it. When the Pope makes that speech, that starting gun is fired and we are off. So perhaps during the questions we can perhaps add a little bit more and go back to it. So thank you, Linda. That's perhaps the most important thing to start with. Yes, I think that they're going to portray the Earth as a dying earth with overpopulation, and the Pope will put forward some ideas which sovereign governments are expected to enact. And what we will see is a complete steamrolling of these ideas. One example for you, earlier this year, the last of the vitamin factories was built for the sole use of the elite families. I am aware of a very, very, which was a very secret document. I believe it's possibly been leaked. But as part of this program, which the Pope will bring out, will be the branding of all vitamins as poison. So it will not be possible, if this goes through, to buy any vitamin supplements anywhere unless you are an elite member of society. When I use the word elite, I mean in terms of money and prestige, or the employees of such people who have been each given a code number, who can then buy vitamins online from these designated places, while ordinary foods are irradiated and the vitamins removed from them, so that by the target time of between 2020 and 2030 in this program, the human race will be so weakened that it would then be susceptible to a rather nasty disease to wipe out large numbers of people. And this isn't scaremongering. This is exactly what they intend to do. I have personal experience of a vitamin factory built in the old Eastern Europe. The Rothschilds providing 15 million euros for the building of that particular building I'm referring to. So once the Pope makes that speech, we will begin to see individual governments enacting a program, the original of which sits with America. And I don't mean the president, I mean those people who are running it. So please watch out for rules and laws suddenly changing, and your freedoms being curtailed. So that's the first sign that it's taking place in your country. This isn't about fear. This is about being aware of it and watching it play out, because ultimately this whole ideology will collapse. They will get it on the road, but as it begins to unfold, so it will collapse. So that's one aspect of how they intend to try to reduce the human population. So... Okay, a story called Christmas Carol, written by Charles Dickens and the end of the ghostly visits. This is the ghost of the future. Scrooge, the lead character, says to the ghost, "Are these the signs of what will be, or of the signs that might be?" So when we talk about the future, we talk about the future that one particular group wish it to be. But that doesn't mean it's going to come to pass, nor is it set in stone. The more people join together to change this outcome, the more likely we are to be successful. The Hadron Collider, it's been a very, very interesting, and it's a developing story. I'll start at the beginning and I'll work through to the latest news that we have. But perhaps I'll just take you back to a very early beginning. If you switch on the internet and you look at the alternative sites, when we talk about the alien race that we love to hate, the reptilian race scores incredibly highly. But only a very few people realize that there is something above that, which is far more dangerous and far more manipulative. You can call it Valon or Archons or any other name you want. It is an energy-based form, which at this present time cannot take a physical form and has a life force which is very artificial, and its intelligence is very robotic. And when we read our history books in university or college or school, we are very proud of a time period called the Industrial Revolution. The Industrial Revolution was a time when great strides were made in machines, whether it was something to pump water, make steam, make cloth, and whether it was your country or my country, our two countries led the world in the Industrial Revolution. The problem is that that Industrial Revolution was not necessarily the creation of humankind. It was a concept given to people to start the process of smelting metals, bringing people together in organized labor, creating agencies, creating all the systems that would one day build something like a Hadron Collider. The Hadron Collider is a masterpiece of technology from the third dimension. Everything from silicon chips to rare metals to people selling hamburgers at the gate. This is a massive undertaking which could only have been created because the human population has been directed down a technological route. The Industrial Revolution provided raw materials and the rough end of energy. But in 1947, when you had your Roswell situation, the other aspect was added. You see, without software, without the ability to process vast amounts of information quickly, no matter how many doors you could build or antenna or aerials you could build, without that machinery, computer electronics to process it, it would go nowhere. So in 1947, alien advanced technology was deliberately placed on the Earth so that it would be back-engineered and find its way to those who wanted it. And that means today we have a device called the CERN, there are others, but it's the biggest, which can, or is attempting to open a portal into the fourth dimension. That's what it's all about, all of this push for technology. And this is why the New World Order can now say, we want to wipe out 50% or 75% of the population, because the project has been built. All of this was to build a collider. Now, in 2012, I and some others went public, and you followed the story through. I chose the Hadron Collider for the first meditation session for connecting consciousness, which was taken up by many groups around the world, for two purposes. The first, because the evil intent was to try to break people or humans' connection to Source. Now, whether that can be done or not isn't the point. The point is that somebody somewhere believed that they had a machine that could break the divine connection between people on this planet and Source. And so we had to actually say, we won't leave it to the 7th Cavalry to come and do something about it. We will show the planet that we care and that we will make an effort. So that was the first reason that I wanted to do the CERN meditation. The second was to make a point to everybody that energy can affect material matter. So I want to talk to you now how about that affecting. On the 15th, we had organized a group meditation. And we were due to start at 12 noon British time. And we were to run for 5 minutes. We did so. And at 11 minutes past the hour, so 6 minutes after the meditation had finished, the CERN device developed a fault and stopped working. Well, that's thanks to you as well as everyone else. And a proof of that, I did email round a screenshot from the publicity company that provides the press with screenshots of the operation of the collider, which showed that it had genuinely failed to operate. But there's more deviousness to explain to you. And there's also a lot of hope to give to you. First, the deviousness. I don't know whether it was because of connecting consciousness. I think it's more likely that many messages had gone around the internet saying that the collider was due to operate and that it was not a good thing. 3 o'clock in the morning, so 3 o'clock British time, they called all their scientists in. In fact, the truth is they didn't let them go home. And they activated the collider at 3 a.m. deliberately to get ahead of the meditation that was to take place at noon. And that again is public record and you can see that. But what you also can see is that just after 3, it had another fault. So they started it up at 3 o'clock, it had a fault, it went down, it started at 11:30, half an hour before we did our meditation, it had another fault. Now I am going to have a little group coming to Whitby where I am, and I've got some very interesting weather satellite pictures to show, because we have evidence that the Earth actually became involved. You need to understand that the amount of electricity that CERN requires is enormous. It is about 7% of the entire electrical output of the country France. That's phenomenal. They have a backup supply, which is based in Switzerland. I have weather shots that show a lightning storm appeared over CERN at our time and also at the generating station. A lightning strike took out their main generator. That is the Earth responding to everybody who put their cards on the table and said, I am going to make a statement. I am going to do something. Without that power, they had to switch to the backup, which meant that they could only operate at about one-third the output. So they could never reach the full power. And I want to explain what their plan was. The Earth is a living creature. You all know that. And it has a biorhythm that is like a heartbeat. It's like this. What they wanted to do, imagine a person on a surfboard riding the wave. And each time the wave came up, they boosted the power. That was their plan. NASA often talk about the slingshot effect. If you are having a traditional spacecraft and you can go around the Earth and you use the gravitational pull to give you extra push, What they wanted on the final upswing was to do that and to take the power with it. But because they didn't have enough power, they couldn't do it. So their operation on that day failed. Since then, they have operated CERN again in conjunction with the smaller collider devices around the planet Earth, and they actually punched a hole between this reality and the fourth dimension. But the hole was smaller than 1 millimeter. Now, I think you guys, that would be about 1/16 of an inch. They can communicate now to the fourth dimension, but they can't do what they wanted to do, which was to bring things through. So the science has had a success in the sense that they've actually seen the fourth dimension, but the elite have not received what they want, which was a new or an increased portal to bring anything through. So working together across the planet, people have affected material mechanisms with their thought. No guns, no bullets, no petrol bombs, just the intent of good, decent people, which has achieved that. And what I just need to finish off on is to say that the Hadron Collider was guarded internally, not externally, with remote viewers. There was a battery of black magicians who were remote viewing all of the interior of the CERN device to prevent any entrance and attack on a psychic level. Obviously, something went wrong for them because the device failed. So we need to understand that there's a huge push to obtain a fourth dimensional corridor to bring things in. Now, finally, along this line, now, for those of you at the Ramtha School will perhaps not find this such a surprise or a shock, but some people can, and I'm not going generally public with this because simply you guys are much more aware. I know this will be released, but by that time it doesn't matter. There is an entity. Some people call this entity Anu. Others have other names for this entity. This entity is trapped inside the Earth. Most of these creatures have left, but there is still a core group left. And this group, this particular individual, demonstrated the situation by showing an image of the Earth encapsulated in a glass ball, which meant there was a force field around the Earth from which this creature couldn't escape. This is why the Pope is now pushing this 2030 agenda, because far as the elite are concerned, their gods have let them down. They were supposed to have had the New World Order some 15 years ago. It hasn't happened. They're now going on their own. So we will see this fractured approach. So I'm sorry that's such a rambling, long answer, but it was really important that you know that. Okay. Yes. 2 points. It must have been quite a blow for them, because the payback to a number of people was quite severe. We've had people who have lost their hearing as a cause of this. We've had people who, this is sounds something out of the seven plagues, had people who've been attacked by swarms of mosquitoes and bitten, and then something very nasty coming from that. We've had lots of people who have been disorientated, but each one of them knew that what they did was for the planet and for the people, and that there was no choice, because once you decide that you're on a certain path, then you have to see it through. So that was a very important thing to say. Now, the second important thing to say is that there are a number of timelines, and it is the consciously awake people who will choose which timeline we're on. The traditional timeline is where the elite go underground. That which is left of humanity remains on the surface and evolves into different races. And a member of the Illuminati called H.G. Wells, who wrote The Time Machine back in about 1895, actually portrays this, the group underground and the group on the top. So that's a timeline that we don't want. And when the Knights Templars met me last year and offered me an underground base for my family and myself at no cost, which is very kind of them, I didn't accept that, because to accept it would be to agree that that was the outcome. And if you give your agreement and your energy to that, then you are making it much more likely to happen. So I didn't take that offer up, although it was meant in the best and the kindest way. I have no intention of taking it up, because we're not going to get to that road. We're going to have a much more positive outcome. Now, we all have different views and understandings, and we can all survive and share. But my understanding is that this time that we face now is the seventh time that we have been here. And I was absolutely shocked when someone said to me, well, that's exactly what The Matrix was about. That was the sixth and the seventh time that this had been faced. So I believe this is the right time for us finally to break free. And it's really important that we remember that what we read, what we're told, are probably factual facts, but mixed in with lies to try to gain a hook into us. And then they put the screw on. And I'm absolutely confident that the vast majority of people in the Western world will see through this and will have no part of it. So I totally agree with you, Linda, that we are standing on the threshold and we will make the choice. These people will try to lead us down a particular pathway. It's entirely up to us whether we go down this pathway or we actually choose a new reality. We choose a new way of doing things, because 1% of the world's population have no right to dictate what you do, when you do it, and how you do it to 99% of the population. Who gave them that position? I didn't, you didn't, but they have obtained that position through trickery. And because they've done it by trickery, they will ultimately fail. Because you cannot build truth on lies. So I am positive, but I'm also aware that there is a difficult time ahead, and that we must all stay together, and we must all believe. Because if the internet comes down, and every alternative radio or website is taken off the air, and you only have Fox News or any of the others, you just have to remember that you were trained for this time. This is what you were preparing for. And you must stay true and remember And that belief, if it's steadfast, will see not just America, not just Britain, but most of the countries through. And so it's really important. I mean, I don't know. I'm being absolutely honest with you. I don't know how many more of these we will be allowed to have. That's how serious it can be in the short term, because they cannot control everybody for very long, but there will be perhaps a very difficult time for us all. So it's important that we get the most out of it. So thank you, Linda, again. I'm sorry I've gone on, but it's... This is the... This is the whole point of all the terrorists and the terrible signs of refugees. It's part of their idea of destabilizing. It's all they understand. It's that this is what they do. They manipulate other people to try to bring about a situation while they keep away from it. And so we are seeing all these threads being drawn together now. Yeah. And, you know, you guys nearly did it with the hippie or the flower power revolution. You were just a paper thinness away from bringing down the system. So it can be done in a non-violent way. And if we have said in the past, by not interfering, we have allowed something to happen. Well, now what we're saying is we're aware of what's happening. We won't bring pain to anybody else, but neither will we give our consent. And these things work on energy consent. And if large enough people on the planet do not give their consent, then these guys who are heartless will find that they do not have the authority to put through what they want. The other thing I would quickly just say is that people's awareness is now so high that they are detecting lies very quickly. It's very hard for the elite to put something through. 10 years ago, people would swallow not anything, but many things. Now, I think government is really up against it. They can't put stuff through on a mass scale. So what we are facing, I think, is individual governments pushing a chosen form of legislation, legislation which seeks to curtail the individuality of the people. And I do not believe the people will stand for it. So let's see how that goes and watch it through. So yes, whatever we've agreed to in the past, we will rescind that and say that we will make our choices one at a time. So no longer will we give our blanket approval. We will say, well, I'll approve of this, but I won't approve of that. And that's our right to do that. But to my knowledge, this is the third time that we have come back onto a broadly positive timeline. The timeline that we're on at the moment is positive. And many people say, well, if it's positive, why is there so much pain and suffering happening at the moment? And that's a very good question, and I want to try and address it. Imagine a corridor, and this is a timeline going from A to Z. Well, where are we on that corridor? Because we can't go past this wall, that's the blockage here, and we can't go past this wall, but within that corridor, we can have any position as we move forward. So we can choose to be onto the left, the center, or the right of this corridor. This is what humanity has to do. This is a positive timeline we're on, but we must decide which is the most positive part of this timeline to give weight to one side. Those of you who have a motorbike or a motorcycle, when you lean over, you lean to counterbalance. And what humans have got to do is to put their energy towards the most positive part of this timeline to ensure that we don't get dragged the other way. Every individual has the power to change their reality. The problem is that when we go to college, we're taught that that cannot be done. Any child under five has that ability. And as soon as they go to school, then it is very cleverly squashed. My own experience, I have seen potential timelines in front of me. And one timeline, without question, is the destruction of North America. We're not on that timeline. And many people misunderstand the concept because they write on a blog site or a website that America's going to be destroyed. There's going to be earthquakes and tidal waves. But that was one timeline. That was one outcome. That is not the outcome that we're on at the moment. I want to make that absolutely clear. If you are a member of the elite, you want a structure left. You don't want to destroy your country. What you want to do is to remove the people from that country. Because it's wrong to think that high members of the elite, the Illuminati, don't appreciate the forest or appreciate rivers and seas. Of course they do. The only difference is they want it for themselves. So they want to walk out into a forest and not see anybody. They want to walk out to a beautiful waterfall and not see another living soul because they've all been murdered. That's the plan. They want all this beauty for themselves. They have never been taught to share. So that is a timeline that they wish. That is a timeline that must never be allowed to happen. And at the moment, for the last maybe 20, 25 years, we have been reasonably secure in a very positive timeline. But at the moment, here's our corridor. What they're seeking to do is to pull the energy of decision right against one wall of that corridor. And what we have to do is to pull it back to the other wall of that corridor. And that will basically dictate whether we come out the other end relatively in good condition or whether we come out in a very poor condition. So the decision lies with us and the ability to do that. And Linda's absolutely correct because there are a number of outcomes, a number of timelines, but it is the humans themselves who will dictate where we are on that. And the sad thing is that so few people are consciously awake, but there are enough people awake to make that decision. As soon as we went through the 21st of December 2012, the game was on. The game was on. So there are enough of us. We can do it. And they are terribly frightened. The elite are terribly frightened of anybody who stands in their own truth. Now, we don't want to get into politics, but you remember several scenes where flowers are put down the barrels of guns. That is a nightmare to the elite. Absolute nightmare. Because if you retaliate with violence, then those soldiers will retaliate with violence, and everything is seen as equal. But if you face these people in a non-violent way, it is something that they can't cope with. There are more police officers who go off with stress in your country after they've broken up a peaceful demonstration than there are who break up a violent demonstration. Because to drag women and potentially children who are blocking a road and all the problems that go with that actually psychically affects a police officer much more than charging in with a stick because someone has thrown a brick at him. So that's why we must be very aware that any demonstrations of the future, the enemy, and I'm using that word because we're talking not about humans, we're talking about an energy that is an enemy to living divine creational force, seeks to always bring violence to bear. And we mustn't fall into that trap. So there are timelines out there. At the moment, it's positive, but we can make it more positive. It's often said that we will move into the fifth dimension and miss out the fourth dimension. My understanding is that we will pass through the fourth dimension but won't stop there. The fourth dimension is where, in street talk, the bad guys are. In more professional talk, it's where all the heavy, dense energies lie. And at the moment, they are so heavy and dense that they are bulging down into the third dimension. And that's why Linda is saying that we are getting the equivalent of a bleed through. Many people are beginning to experience not just the fourth dimension, but some of these entities that are so heavily weighing down into our reality that we are seeing them off and on, far more than we've ever done. The Earth will choose to evolve. That is a natural course of all living creatures. If you have good intent, you will evolve towards a positive. If your intent is not of a good sort, then your evolution can be very variable and can lead you down a dead end. So the fourth dimension is a dead end if you arrive there and your energies either change or are too heavy to allow you to transcend forwards. That's happened to a number of entities. I believe that the human race will enter the fourth, but not stop there. It will move on to the fifth, at which point it will then stop to start the learning process. We do have something to learn from the fourth dimension, but very little, because our reality here in the third has been so largely shaped by dimensional realities, because many of the values that we have were given to us from the fourth dimension, that we don't need to learn that. As we transcend the fourth, we don't need to learn that because we've already experienced. There are some higher energies at the top end of the fourth we need to experience, but I don't believe that we need to set up a camp there. We can move through that and go into the fifth. And then the fifth is where we start our real human learning. And this is a tremendous change, because those creatures that have oppressed freedom will actually be behind us from a linear perspective. And so, although we are technologically inferior to many of these creatures, we will prove that the spiritual capability of humans is actually greater. And this is, although it's a traveling distance, we are actually beginning now to push through the very base of the fourth, and that's why so many people are having some very interesting experiences. And it's a natural development. One group comes down, and just as an aside, I don't wonder if this very heavy group will form another reality, so that you'll have a fourth dimension, a third dimension, and something that will create a bubble with its own reality in it, which is neither third nor fourth. So we will move forward. I've absolutely no doubt about that. But I want us to get well to the fifth. Alex Collier, who I have so much time for, is in contact with a group of people from the base of the fifth, the Andromedans, and I think that we need to be up there. We need to be there to experience a whole new reality. Very different life, very different values, but each person will have to look inside him or her to say, what is important to me? Is the clothes even I wear, are they important? Because we are going to go through a situation where maybe the American dollar will be reduced by 50%. Maybe the British pound will be reduced by 35%. A dollar is a dollar. If you have something that's made in your country, it'll still be a dollar, and you'll still buy it. But if you wish to buy something from China, no longer will it be $1, it may be $3 or $4. So this is the impact of a impending financial disaster. It has just become very difficult to buy anything that's imported outside of your own country. I know you guys don't follow Europe's situation greatly. Some of you do, but I know vast majority don't. But within the European Union, which you're not a member of, when Greece had its disaster 3 years ago, the Greek government went into everybody's bank account who had over, I think, something like the equivalent of $5,000, and took money out. Now, if someone does that to you in the street, that's called a robbery. And if they get caught, they should go to prison. But this was perfectly legal for the government to go into anyone's bank account and take money out. Precedent has been set. Any European country now. So that's something to take account of. Finally, the previous government in my country, there was an advisor to the Prime Minister. And that advisor, some 4, 5, 6 weeks ago in my country, made an announcement that he thought everyone should take their money out of the bank and put it under the bed. He also said that it would be worth stocking your food up for 4 weeks. Now, obviously, he was attacked. But here's the first instance in my country where a very senior person, an advisor to a prime minister, actually went public on Twitter and saying there's a massive situation around the corner. And he said that whatever financial disaster we had in 2008, 2009, this was going to be something like 20 times worse. And that's available on YouTube if you go and find it. But generally people are very frightened to come out and tell the truth because they all look forward to a pension. Reality is, there won't be a pension. It's all going to be different. And it is what we create it to be. So the future is ours. We just have to be brave enough to reach out and take it and do it in a way that is beneficial for us, our families, our friends, and the planet. Because the days when an individual did this, because he wanted it for himself, and perhaps for his bloodline, and everyone else could go hang, those are the old energies. These are the energies that we are leaving behind. This planet is leaving that value behind it. And we are going forward with a far more open and truthful engagement between people on this planet. And even some people who are totally unawake are frankly quite sick of what's gone in the past. They want something different. People are crying out for a new way to do things. And when this reaches a certain point, it's going to happen. And we just have to be positive and believe in it. Sure. It's about choice. And once you make that choice, do you stick with it or do you begin to crumble and move away? There are some people, some entities, some energies that are very wedded to a particular lifestyle, who are rooted in the past and cannot bring themselves to look forward to the future, are frightened of change, and believe themselves to be so important that they are more important than anything else around them. And this is a fourth dimensional value with some entities. And that has imprinted itself onto the ruling elite on our planet. These values of individual worth over and above anyone who is not a member of your family. On this planet, we have physical bodies, and those physical bodies can contain bloodlines. I have a bloodline body, and the way that the negative energies would work in terms of visitations are imploring me to connect more with a reptilian side, to value the reptilian side, and to put my energy with that. So that is how it plays out with me. So I will have a number of visitations from both sides of the balance, attempting to, in the case of a reptilian, to sway me to bring my energies across to that side of the camp, and to therefore put my input there. With the mantid group, that has always been a free will choice. They've never been told, you should do this. They've always been asked, what will you do? And humans don't like to be told what to do. It's our natural self. So when faced with a creature that says, you should do this, our natural reaction is to say, well, why? And actually, I'll do what I want to do. And that's been the core difference here. With the mantis has been, what will you do? And the reptilian has been, we want you to do this. So they started the process on the wrong foot, but they know no different. Just like these elite people, they know no different. They are totally unaware that they are showing you their agenda, and they're bearing their cards on the table, but they think they're playing a very clever game. So this body of mine is exactly the same as yours, in the sense that it is made up of materials from this planet and this universe. And it can be influenced. But we all have divine souls. Well, those of us, hopefully, we have divine souls. And they have to make a choice. And they have to decide what is right and what is wrong. And if your value is for the good of people or humankind, then you will look at something and say, that is fundamentally damaging to the outcome that I seek. Therefore, I won't go along with that. So everyone makes a choice. Now, actually, there isn't a right and wrong choice from that individual, because everyone's allowed to make that choice. But if that choice hurts other creatures of divine creation, then that choice was an inaccurate choice, because it took into account the individual making the choice and did not take into account those people around them. That's the point of evolution. If you throw a piece of meat to a group of hungry dogs, very, very rarely will a dog share with someone else. But when you evolve, you take the piece of meat. Obviously, we're talking about dogs who are not evolved enough to be vegetarian, and you share it, and you say, I will make this go so that we can all share, because it's all of us or none of us. And this is the choice I had to make. I had to decide whether I was going to be looked after, whether I could have a bunker and be looked after and have food and all the rest of it, whether I would throw my lot in with a particular entity group who would promise me the earth, or whether I actually felt that my true compassion lay with people who had been tricked and lied to, but had fundamentally more to offer than any alien group, frankly. The human species can get back up to 12th dimension. The reptilians will never get to 12th dimension. So for me, it was a choice that I made probably at the age of 5 on this planet. So by the age of 5, I had already decided what was important to me and where my loyalties were lying. So between the ages of 3 and 5, was my formative period. It would have been my observations of a number of alien races over 2 years, 2.5 years, and at the end of that period, I felt that I had seen enough to be confident to make a decision as to which choice humanity should really go down. I'll give you an example of where we are now, and I was trying to say it a bit earlier, and I just pulled away from saying it because I think it will be quite hard for some people perhaps to accept who like to attack spokespeople, but I will just say it. I had a connection with a a medium, a woman who is very, very psychic, very gifted. I haven't met her. I spoke to her over the telephone. And she wanted to do a reading for me. And I said, well, you know, you're 4 hours drive away from me. I have, you know, difficult. And she said, well, I'll do it over the telephone. Now, anyone who's had a reading from me knows I have to have a video to do it. And I said to her, oh, can you do that? Is that okay? And she immediately started to tell me which entities were near me. Now, you could be very, very suspicious and say, well, look, anyone who's seen my presentations could then reel out certain things. But what occurred was that she described this entity that you could call Anu, who had come to her and offered her something which I have never described, and I know that she's genuine. Now, what she actually said to me was, he wishes to negotiate. That's what she actually said. He wants to negotiate, and he wants to negotiate through me. That's the medium. And I said to her, I've waited over 50 years for this moment, because he basically has to say what he's prepared to do and change to see where we go with it. Ultimately, I did not hold that particular meeting because I sent a message up the pipe, which was, if you want to talk, you talk to me directly. Don't bring other people in, because it's not fair on them. You're going to be energizing them in a way. So we are at a crucial stage. We have the energy movement. We have a physical movement. We have the consciousness of the planet, the consciousness of the people. There are all of these things which have been aligning. And really and truly, what we've got is a great energy of love and this offshoot of very dense negative energy. And quite frankly, what I believe will happen is that this will move into another reality, and this will either stay where it is or be offshooted somewhere else and will just completely wither away. No one's going to die like that. No one's going to be penalized for making a choice of darkness or heavy energy. But what will happen is that will just become nothing over a period of time. And this will become the new concept, the new earth, the new people, the new way. And we all make a personal choice. So by the time I was five and a half, I had made this choice. And I've not gone back on it, because I have seen nothing to show me that elite people with a negative agenda can do anything positive. And I implore them, even now the clock stands at 1 minute to midnight, to change, to make a genuine movement and come across and join the side that is actually beneficial for humanity. There's still time. There's still time, because once that hand reaches 12, they can't come back, because it's been set and the prophecy is fulfilled, as you said. So it's still 1 minute two, they can still come across. And I make this statement because I know they watch my presentations. I know they do. I'm imploring them, for the good of themselves, the good of their families and their children to come, to turn their back on the course of action that they are in, to move away from that, because they are, in the words of the church, they are looking at a fiery pit. That is exactly what they're staring at. And there'll be no redemption from that in this lifetime. They may well have a chance later on, but at the moment, they're going to go back to zero and start all over again. So it wasn't difficult for me to make that choice, but it was traumatic from a skin and bone organic percept, because I was looking at creatures that were 15 feet tall, didn't speak with their mouths, were completely not like humans, but the energies from them were different. Some energies were compatible with humanity, some energies were totally alien to humanity. And so I made a decision based on what my soul felt was the best outcome for humanity. And I know it was the right decision, because the energies of the dark side have become more and more frustrated with me. There is a covenant, which means that I cannot be physically harmed, but they are now playing tricks. And anybody who plays tricks and tries to manipulate you can't have a good agenda. So that's how I've judged it. Yes, Fran, who so wonderfully looks after the website, has been on me for some time, and we did do a page, not the definitive way to defend yourself, but an idea of how to go. And I've always said that if you are a particular star family, you have a particular history or past lives, the energy in you will work in a certain way. And Linda's absolutely right. There is no hard and fast rule for how you protect yourself, as long as you create a impenetrable barrier based on your truth. And I gave some tips or some pointers, and it's for everybody to find the way that protects themselves. You see, we can be attacked by people with psychic ability. We can be attacked by machines. We can be attacked by devices which are supposed to be provide communications, and all of these things can affect us on a physical and an energy basis if we let it. Now, it for many people it's very arrogant to say that you have the ability to prevent that, but isn't that what healers do? When somebody has a disease and goes to a healer, and the healer changes the reality of that person, that is because the person receiving the energy believes in it sufficiently to hook in with the energy of the person that has that frequency and to make that happen. Now, if you can be cured of a disease, you can prevent a cell phone tower irradiating your body. Or you can actually change back the molecular structure of your body. Linda talked earlier about genetics. And the elite can't stop the information coming out that water molecules can change frozen into either well-formed crystals or ugly crystals, that genetics can actually be altered and changed by energy. So they've understood this, but now they're sharing it unwillingly with the public. And we need to understand that working individually or working as a group, we can protect ourselves. But the problem of our world is that we are reinforced with the physical all the time. Yes. Everything, touch it. Can't see it, can't smell it, can't touch it, can't be real. Unless it's God, in the true sense of the Bible, then we can believe in that. But anything else that we can't see, we're told is not real. And this was to totally split humankind from its real potential to manipulate and move energies. And there's absolutely nothing wrong in manipulating energies, just like the juggler, juggling the balls in the air. So we should be able, if we're properly trained, to be able to manipulate these energies. And as long as it's for good, there's no harm in doing it. And I would like to just finish by saying that, you know, the Ramtha School, to my knowledge, is the only school that has maintained its message. So many of these schools alter the message to suit the time they're in. So in their 1990s or the 2000s, they think, well, we need to change our message because it'll be more appealing to people. The ramp for message has stayed the same because it doesn't matter whether it's 1850 or 2015, that message has to be solid because the values that we have are the values for now and for the new earth. And I will use the word the new earth. I'm going to use it. You know, we don't want the spaceships landing and we don't want people getting on to be taken to a new earth. We've got a beautiful earth. We should be here to make it better. Why would we want to leave this place? It was given to us. It's ours. We need to look after it. So finally, what I'd say on this is that, you know, the Ramtha School has my full support because its teachings are the teachings that we need now more than ever. Because they've not been corrupted. Many of these schools have been infiltrated and corrupted. And the Ramtha School has not been. So that's why I've come back 3 times, and I will continue to come back, because I'm very happy to associate something of a very strong tradition. And I just wish that other people who are so wrapped up in their own little ideologies could just come out of them and take the time to look around them and compare with what's going on. Because I think what we would find is that it's not about my school's better than your school, but it is about that unless we can work together on an overall plan, not everybody is going to go forward to the new earth. And there will be people left behind. And that's a genuine prediction. Remember I talked about the biorhythm of the earth. At the moment, if you think of the top part as masculine and the bottom part as feminine, the earth in its cycle is leaving the masculine and is moving now towards the feminine. That is undeniable. And this is why you get all these stupid bits going on about men don't know how to be men anymore and they're all confused. The reality is that this is a natural progression, that the earth moves. But with the arising of consciousness, what I'm hoping for is instead of this huge masculine 26,000 years, 500, and then 26,500 years later, the feminine, that we actually create a balance exactly between male and feminine, so that no matter on this rise and fall, we stick with that. Now, if we go back in history to alien races who have involved themselves, we have the Orion Empire and a interesting group from what you guys would pronounce as Sirius, or we say Cyrus, I think you say Sirius. And they are very interestingly diametrically opposed. One is very masculine, one is very feminine. In fact, one had queens and empresses, and the other, whilst it had queens, these were just mere figureheads. So in the fourth dimension, it's very strong between a patriarchal or a matriarchal group. And when I've been interacted with alien creatures, depending on their background, would be the way they project themselves. So the mantis group is quite male. It's quite a male group. But they recognize that they have lost some of the feminine energy and they are seeking to regain that. That's why those of you who are familiar with my story know that I don't engage with strong male energy because it generally, unfortunately, creates wars. So that's why the entity that came to me, I would call that creature mum, as in mother, or as you guys would say, it's mom, M-O-M, although it was a male creature, because the feminine is what I understand. Now, the feminine creatures that I've interacted with, they have literally been leaders of their own clan or their own group, and they come at it from a completely different energy level. But for me, this is all wrong, because you have the feminine over here and the male over here, and it's just not working. We need to be able to balance and bring together, because when a person has a past life, often they will have incarnated in the sex of a different body. So females will have incarnated in a male body, and males will have incarnated in a female body. That's absolutely vital. Because if you think in a linear term, we'll just use a linear term, here's point A and point Z. If I exist in point A, but I never come across to point Z, how can I understand the universe I'm in? Because this was created, all of this side, so you have to come over. And if you incarnate in a body of the opposite sex and you live a lifetime and then you come back because you're either feminine or male, then you have experience and you bring that energy with you and it balances you. Because the male can offer certain energies and the female can offer certain energies, and only when they're working together can we actually say that we can understand the planet, the life on this planet. Because generally speaking, ladies and gentlemen, it is men that create wars. It's men that kill. I know not this group here, but we're talking widely. And women who create. And until, in the physical sense, men can actually give birth to babies, men will never appreciate what life really is. So we have to make this evolution on an energy level. We have to actually as a male, and I've done this, I hope, to encompass the feminine and not be scared by it. That's the problem. Most males are terrified of female energy because they think it will weaken them in some way. It's bullshit. Feminine energy is actually really strong. And if you balance it and compare it, then you are much more a representative part of the planet. So my view is that having experienced both male and female, I find both elements wrong because they are too out of their balance. And only can we, as we evolve from the third to the fourth to the fifth, can we actually have this fantastic opportunity as an energy basis to try and bring it together so that we can be more representative of everything and not be so going off at a tangent, either male or female-wise. So I'm very positive for the future. And I've seen what I don't want it to go like. There is a feline alien species which the American military, you know, the elite American military, are very familiar with. In English, the alien race, their own name is Ket Kari, but the American military can't really pronounce anything that's not American. They call them the Kilrotti. The Kilrotti, because they can't say Ket Kari, so they say Kilrotti. This is a feline species which is feminine dominated. So it is ruled by a queen. But you see, they haven't evolved because they've got hierarchy. If you have a king and a queen, you haven't evolved. You know, when Alex Collier goes to the fifth dimension, all you have are elders. So it's not a, you know, we have a badge that says I'm better than you. It says I've studied law, I've studied this, I'm an elder, but everyone is equal. As you get out of the fourth dimension, there is no hierarchy strategy. You know, think about the police force. You have badges to show your rank. This is what it's like in the third, because it's like this in a lot of the fourth. We have to get away from that. I am better than you. I've got more money than you. I've got more connections than you. I can tell you what to do because I've got three stripes and you've only got two. This is pointless. This doesn't do anything. It's just pushing humans in a circle that's getting tighter and tighter and tighter. So what I say to men is, don't be frightened of female energy. Embrace it. And for the feminine, you can give as good as you get, but there is useful stuff there. Bring it together. I personally have a very strong memory of incarnating in a female body in 1835. and if I hadn't done that, I wouldn't have the understanding and the love for the planet that just pure male energy, because male energy is, oh, I can build something there. I can knock it down. But feminine energy is, instead of building, it's I can create something, and it's I can nurture it. So if you can put the two energies together, you can both build and create, and you can take it down when it needs to be taken down, but only when it needs to be, but then you look after it. So really and truly, it's about people being brave and moving outside of these physical bodies, because at the end of the day, this is just not as important as what is inside you. So. Just want to thank everybody. Oh. I think she was very attracted to all the clapping. I want to thank everyone. I don't really know what the future is, but it doesn't matter, because it is what we make of it. And, you know, you are one of the most special groups, because you've all come together here, you have all understood, and you support each other, and you've stayed true and loyal. So whatever test has been thrown to you, you've actually worked together. So I want to thank you from the bottom of my soul for inviting me again for the third time. You give me more joy as a group of people than anywhere else, because it's a special energy that surrounds your community. And I appreciate that and understand it, and I value it. And it's a privilege for me to have the opportunity to be part of this very beautiful family. And this is a model for the world. So thank you. I'm going to say goodbye to everyone. I'm sorry that my Italian friend hasn't come to say goodbye. Where is he? Yeah. Listen,
Will you come again?
I will. I hope that we have the opportunity to do so. I know that maybe in the short time things will be difficult, but in the long term, we will reconnect and stay true to yourselves and believe in yourselves. And if we have another opportunity and the internet is still working and up and running, then of course I will come and be delighted to be part of your family. God bless. I will go.